You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Women on the Line, a radical intersectional current affairs program making space for the voices of women and gender diverse people. Produced at 3CR Community Radio in Naarm, Melbourne, and broadcast on the Community Radio Network. My name is Fung Tran. Women on the Line acknowledges that this program is produced on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and that their sovereignty was never ceded. We acknowledge their elders past and present, as well as the traditional owners of the land on which you're hearing us from. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. On this week's program, we look into Australia's new online safety codes requiring age verification for R-rated games and websites and the ramifications that this will have on our privacy. These new requirements, aimed to prevent children from being exposed to age-inappropriate content, raise questions about whether this will actually stop young people from accessing this content, as well as concerns regarding the online privacy of users. Furthermore, this age assurance could negatively impact the online sex work industry, exposing workers and clients to privacy and safety risks, as well as further stigmatization of the porn industry. To discuss these issues, we speak to Lucinda Thorpe from Digital Rights Watch and Mish Pony from Scarlet Alliance. Lucinda Thorpe is a human rights advocate with a background in international relations and education and is dedicated to improving privacy reform. She also works as a privacy campaigner at Digital Rights Watch. Mish Pony is the Chief Executive Officer at Scarlet Alliance, which is the national peak body representing sex workers and sex worker organisations and projects in so-called Australia.
To start off with, could you please explain these new codes requiring users to verify their age before accessing websites and gaming sites that feature adult content, pornography, etc.?
So under the policy, porn sites and those adult gaming sites you mentioned must verify an Australian user's age by collecting information such as their government ID, bank details, face scans, or any other approved form of identification before the Australian user can view explicit material.
Yeah, and I guess this is similar to what we have been discussing before about age verification required for young people to access social media. And so can you tell us in a bit more detail the ways in which users can be asked to verify their age?
Yes. So the porn site can choose between a whole suite of different age verification methods, all of which have been approved by eSafety. All of these methods are so flawed. Let me read all of the approved methods out for you. So there's confirmation by a parent of age. There's photo ID, so government ID, facial age estimation, credit card checks, digital identity, wallets or systems, age inference, which is basically like an AI examines all of your cookies and then guesses your age, and third-party age assurance vendors. So I'm just going to rattle off some of the issues with this here. Firstly, what kid is ever going to ask their parents to verify their age to watch porn? That is such an out-of-touch solution. And there's no way to verify who is really a parent. So who is actually providing that verification that the kid is of age to watch pornography? Second, kids can get access to credit cards and IDs that aren't theirs. It's easy to, you know, find someone's license or credit card lying around the house and then just use that. On third, age inference is so inaccurate. It's so inaccurate. And, like, what I do every day at work is try to prevent companies from being able to absolutely rot Australian data and try to put in place privacy reforms, because there's no real reason that they need that data other than selling you things. Mm. But age inference creates a legal excuse for these websites and other services to collect that data on individuals, because they can now say, oh, it's to help support the implementation of laws. It's for law enforcement purposes. So it entrenches not just de-identification of the internet, but also the internet as a mechanism of surveillance on individuals.
Yeah, there's so many issues that you've brought up just now regarding this age verification methods. I don't even know where to begin, but I guess you were saying just now that if you're using methods such as using ID or credit cards, like, it's quite easy for underage people to be able to find that lying around, like you said, and still use it or use fake IDs and things like that. What are the concerns around this pushing people to unregulated sites or apps in order to access adult content? I imagine that those platforms do exist.
Yep, 100%. So research shows that age verification for pornographic sites is effective in preventing accidental exposure, but as we've seen with the social media ban, age verification is an ineffective barrier. If kids want to access something, they're going to get to it. And there's limited evidence that, you know, exposure to this content alone can cause the harms that, you know, the advocates to this policy are claiming that it will. But anyway, research instead consistently shows that comprehensive sex education is the most effective way for young people to develop healthy relationships with sex. So if they seriously want to prevent the harms like violence against women, which is so important to address, that is how they should be doing it. Now, your question focused on young people, but I do just want to address that this mandate forces all Australians, not just young people, to choose between accessing legal content and preserving their online anonymity. So for many people, that trade-off is unacceptable, and as a result, users of all ages, not just young people, may simply migrate to those unregulated websites that ignore Australian law entirely. These websites could potentially host more extreme material, or they could have worse privacy protections. These are the kind of risks that this policy is exposing, not just young people to, but everyone.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Lucinda, I guess, because this has been framed as a way to prevent children and underage people from accessing pornographic and other explicit material. I forgot that actually everyone is going to have to use these age assurances in order to verify whether they are over 18 or not. And yeah, I think the idea of anonymity on the internet, I think, is something more and more that a lot of people are talking about, because like you said, surveillance is a big issue there, and also, you know, the mining of people's data. So, I was wondering if we could end on that note. What privacy concerns do you have in users engaging with this age assurance? And what are the risks when it comes to companies who have access to this personal data, whether that's the platforms themselves, or I think you mentioned before, third parties who might be delivering these age verification methods?
Yeah. So in practice, age verification systems don't work, like I mentioned earlier. But just because they're ineffective in achieving their stated goal doesn't mean that they can't pose real risk to Australian privacy, or I guess privacy anywhere. So you're so right to ask this question. Age verification systems are operated by the websites themselves. So many smaller sites may lack the resources or the technical expertise to properly secure this extremely sensitive data that they're collecting. This could include the bank details, government identification, face scans of Australians attempting to access adult content. If these databases were breached and that information was exposed publicly or exploited for blackmail, the consequences could be devastating. Another concern that I have around privacy here is that fraudulent websites may also imitate age verification systems in order to harvest personal information from unsuspecting users. And that's just on top of all of the privacy concerns, some of which I mentioned earlier, that are actually entrenched within the age verification systems themselves.
Yeah, and it's just part of like a growing discussion that you and I have had and you've had with other presenters on 3CR just about more and more surveillance and more privacy concerns when it comes to our personal data either being used by tech companies or at risk of data breaches, not just on the online space, but just through surveillance in shopping centres and other spaces as well. So, yeah, I guess every time that there's a story that comes out like this, it's really important to keep a close eye and really question how effective these measures are and whether it's for the greater good of all of our privacy. Just quickly, Lucinda, if there are people who are really concerned about this, they want to find more, where can they get more information?
Fantastic question. So please head over to our website, Digital Rights Watch. Just Google us and we're the first ones that come up. We have explainers on this. We also have a newsletter which will keep you updated on all the similar kind of tech policies coming out, which you might not be aware are coming up. eSafety is the one administering this policy. So if you want to hear directly from them, head to their website and they will tell you about the approved mechanisms for age verification. They probably won't tell you about the risks associated. So if you want to hear about them, head on over to our website.
I'm Mish Pony. I'm the CEO of Scarlet Alliance, which is the peak national body for sex workers and sex worker organisations across Australia.
So here on 3CR, we've been speaking about age verification and the measures being used to require people to confirm their age in order to access pornography and other gaming and other websites that contain adult content. And I was wondering if you could share your perspective as someone who works for Scarlet and advocating for the rights of sex workers.
One of the main issues is the underlying assumptions that these regulations are required in order to protect young people, when often these regulations are framed in terms of protecting young people from harmful content and then making a direct link between pornography and harm. And that link doesn't really exist in evidence. And also when we're talking about young people accessing adult content, there's obviously different impacts for different age ranges. So, you know, when we're talking about 16 and 17 year olds looking to consume pornography, that's a very different matter to an 8 year old coming across pornography. In the literature, we also see that when it is, you know, pre-pubescent young people are seeing pornography, it's usually unintentional stumbling across it. And we don't need things like age verification to stop very young children from accidentally or unintentionally seeing pornography. Things like the simple pop-ups that come up to warn people that it's adult content and you need to be over a certain age, that is sufficient to prevent extremely young people who aren't looking for the content to seeing it. And then when we talk about older young people intentionally seeking adult content, porn, this age verification actually isn't going to stop them because they're tech savvy, they know how to get around it. And that's borne out with the, you know, extreme uptick in VPN downloads. But from a sex worker perspective, you know, this linking between porn and harm is actually just an extension of sex work stigma and discrimination. It is saying that sex worker content is harmful to society. And these aren't new arguments. This is just a rebranding of the same anti-sex work rhetoric that has been around for decades, but putting a new spin on it to make it seem more socially acceptable. Also, you know, when we're talking about these regulations, they're quite broad reaching. There's not a lot actually of a clear guidance to big tech, but there's also no protections in order to prevent big tech from blocking content that shouldn't be blocked. And so we've had concerns that sex worker advertising directories would go behind age verification, which would mean that clients or potential clients are disincentivized from accessing them or, you know, have legitimate privacy concerns and so wouldn't go through that age assurance gate to see the ads. And that would lead to a real decrease in earnings, more precarity of work. And we've seen when other regulations that restrict clients' access to our advertising are implemented in other countries, that actually leads to sex workers having to work in less safe ways and an actual increase in violence, and as I mentioned, you know, less income, greater insecurity. So there's a whole range of other impacts when we're talking about this.
Thank you so much for that mission. You've mentioned so many important things that I'd like to get into if we have time.
Thank you. I did go a bit wide.
But I guess one of the things that you said, which was really interesting to me, is by putting these age assurances on this content, there's a moral judgment being made in the name or under the guise of safety, which is really interesting.
And like, you know, the eSafety Commissioner herself, who is responsible for registering and monitoring the implementation of these codes, has actually in multiple forums called porn awful but lawful. And so the person responsible it has this moral judgment on porn itself. And I think, you know, that is a huge conflict of interest.
Something else that you mentioned was, well, actually, something that I would like to ask you about is how do you see this in the broader context of the discussion around the decriminalization of sex work? Because we're seeing in many states that some, not all forms of sex work have been decriminalized. And so with these new age verification measures, how would you see the relationship between that and the broader discussions around decriminalization of this work?
It is a bit tricky because, you know, we get these great wins in some areas and we seem to be progressing on some issues. But then at the same time, on other issues, we're going backwards. And so it does feel like we can we can't get some wins without some losses. And so I think that, you know, as you mentioned, we have decriminalization frameworks in the Northern Territory, Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria, and the ACT has submissions open. They're closing today, which is the 1st of April for your listeners, on decriminalisation in the ACT. And so Australia is turning towards models that improve the lives of sex workers in some respects, but then in other respects, sex workers are still facing the same old stigma and discrimination and shuttering of online spaces. And it's well recognized that, you know, to work and exist in this world, online spaces are crucial.
Something that I've spoken to Lucinda from Digital Rights Watch before is about online privacy, how that's becoming increasingly difficult for us to maintain. We've discussed it within the context of the social media ban for under 16-year-olds in this country, and now with accessing pornography and other content. You mentioned this before, talking about the privacy and safety concerns of workers. So I was wondering if you could expand on that a bit more, given what we know about the discrimination and the violence that sex workers face already.
So these new age assurance regulations won't necessarily change things for sex workers that much. For online content creators such as those who use OnlyFans, they're already required to upload extensive amount of identity documents. But that does have huge concerns for sex workers because the stigma and discrimination, and in some places, criminalization, means that the linking of sex work to your legal identity can have really negative impacts. And for example, in the United States, you can't travel to the USA, theoretically, if you've done sex work in the past 10 years. That is the government's policy. So in this age of data linkage and surveillance, it is, an increasing concern that sex workers will be outed. And, in an ideal world, there would be no stigma and discrimination or criminalization. So that wouldn't be an issue. But that's not the world we live in. And so sex workers do take active steps every day to avoid that stigma and discrimination. But for consumers of pornography and clients, again, having to provide either a facial scan or the upload of an identity document in order to access that content is justifiably a huge privacy risk. There's already been well-documented massive data breaches that included hackers stealing identity documentation and facial scans of things like dating websites. And people try and minimize the potential negative consequences of this by saying that the companies undergoing the age assurance just take a quick photo and then they delete it straight away. The reality is, and this is from the government's own age assurance trial that they conducted, was that companies are holding on to this data. So it is not just a one and done and it's gone forever. That's not the reality. And we wish it was, but it's not. And we've seen time and time again massive data breaches. And just imagine if a hacker got access to the photos of people logging into Pornhub or their ID documents. That could be, again, very disastrous for those people. Porn is still a bit of a taboo, stigmatizing topic. So, it is something that people have real fears and concerns about.
Thank you, Mish. You were talking before about the impact that this could have on advertising for sex workers online. So, just a bit more about this, would be great if you can expand a bit more.
So the online codes, which require age assurance, talk about adult content being, pornography, but also things like high impact nudity and also explicit discussions around sex. And so in a sex worker's advertising, there may be explicit nudity, or there may be explicit descriptions of sex acts that the sex worker provides. Things are still rolling out, so there's no definitive answers yet, which is also, a source of anxiety to many of us. We have been in communication with an advertising directory that is implementing age assurance, but not for the whole website. They're just going to hide the more explicit parts of someone's advertising. But if you're a sex worker and you're talking about the sex acts that you provide, you want clients to see that, so they know what you offer. And I'm very doubtful that clients are going to want to feel comfortable enough to undergo age assurance to see an unfiltered ad. But the other impacts of this are, these regulations just tell tech platforms or hosting services that adult content as a whole is just too risky, that there's too much regulation, it's just a hassle to understand what is and isn't allowed. There's huge fines if you get it wrong. And so what's easier for tech platforms is just to say, no, we're not going to host adult content, we're not going to host sex work content. And again, we've seen this before. When the United States implemented FOSTA-SESTA back in around 2018, websites that sex workers were using for safety and for community were shut down because tech providers just couldn't be bothered to really understand that actually this content isn't illegal under the new legislation. It just creates a chilling effect. It's also something we've seen for decades in social media, that sex workers' accounts get deleted randomly or shadow banned, and there's no opportunity for redress. And so if we're saying to social media platforms, you need to make sure that adult content goes behind age assurance, or we're going to fine you, they're probably, many of them will think it's just easier to not bother and just to not allow sex workers to exist online.
Thanks so much for that, Mish. Finally, before you go, if there are workers who are listening to this conversation, they're worried about how this will impact their work, or if there are just people in general who are really interested in learning more about how this age assurance will impact sex workers, do you have any resources that people can access to find out more?
Yeah, so on the Scarlet Alliance website, we have a briefing paper about the impacts of online regulation that really goes into detail about these unintended consequences and impacts. And for sex workers who are looking for support in navigating digital spaces, maybe they're having issues with an advertiser or, not sure about what the future holds, each state and territory has a sex worker organization that has sex worker peers that they can have a chat to and work out what's happening. But our website will constantly be updated. Hopefully in the near future we'll have a section dedicated to, this online regulation.
That was Mish Pony, CEO of Scarlet Alliance, and earlier we heard from Lucinda Thorpe, privacy campaigner at Digital Rights Watch. To learn more about how this new age assurance will impact online sex workers, go to scarletalliance.org.au. And for more information on how these verification methods can impact online privacy, head to digitalrightswatch.org.au. That's all for Women on the Line today. We would love to hear any comments or thoughts you have about the program, so please send us an email at womenontheline@gmail.com or give us a call at 3CR on 03 9419 8377. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Women on the Line is a national feminist current affairs program. It's produced and presented by a range of women and gender non-conforming broadcasters from 3CR in Naarm and broadcast across so-called Australia on the Community Radio Network with funding support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Kavara. All programs can be downloaded from 3cr.org.au/womenontheline. I'm Phuong Tran. Tune into Women on the Line next week on your community radio station.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.